Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And Tim, today is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a relevant topic because we hear educators and parents and coaches talk about it all the time.
Yes.
But it's one of those realities that we now face in our lives that snuck up on us and ambushed us. It's the idea of a world full of social media. And how do we build healthy self-esteem or positive self-esteem in a world where social media exists and actually prevails?
It's so fascinating because we've gone from it didn't exist to it's taken over our lives in about a decade.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true. In fact, or less. So you get out and about with students.
Yes.
And you were sharing with me not long ago some stories. Talk about some of those stories that you've heard that just kind of paint the picture.
Yeah, there's a number of stories. One that rises to the front of my mind is actually a conversation I had yesterday
with
a mom who told me about her five-year-old daughter and an interesting scenario.
Five years old.
So she said, I walked in the other day and my daughter had picked up my phone and started videoing herself, a little selfie video, and she started saying some really interesting things. She was like, hey, everyone, this is, you know, Kylie here or whatever. So excited to be coming to you. Today I want to talk to you about... She just starts going into this thing.
Clearly she's five years old. Heard something.
Yeah. Yes. Immediately what I said to that mom is she's been watching YouTube, hasn't she? Because for those who know, there's all these YouTube influencers out there who are developing these tribes. Sometimes there are millions of people that are watching these videos. And there's tribes of people where they're just sharing pieces of their life with people, welcoming people into their lives. And she said that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
So her niece, who's 16 years old, has been babysitting her five-year-old, and they've been watching these YouTube videos together, and now this young girl has picked it up.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking, it's a whole new day.
Kids are watching.
Yes.
But they're watching so much that they're picking up cues from all kinds of ages and demographics.
Absolutely.
So you've led and facilitated many of our focus groups.
Yeah.
And you've picked up some lines from middle school kids, early teens.
So many new realities that we're dealing with. So let me just share a few of these. These are things, by the way, educators, parents, all of you guys, you have probably seen a lot of these things.
Yeah.
But these are all things that I look at and go, these things are brand new. So, for instance, I sit down with young ladies in middle school ages, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, who will tell me I am regularly solicited by men who want to follow me on Instagram or whatever. And most of them are saying, I'm choosing to just keep my profile private because I'm asked to be asked to follow by more people I don't know than people I do know.
So these are men they don't know.
No, men they do not know
who
are just saying, hey, I would love to follow you on Instagram. Yeah. They're like, I'm in sixth grade, you know. Teachers are telling me that fights are starting in the schools between two people who they've never seen disagree before. Sometimes they'll say there's two people that just started fighting. I don't even know if they know each other's names. And to find out what's happening is there's been a feud online that has led to a fight
in social media,
in person, a whole new reality that we're now dealing with in schools. I met a young girl. I say young girl. She was a freshman in college, and she told me, "I just realized the dumbest thing that I was doing all 4 years of high school." She said, "I refused to send happy birthday messages to my friends on social media."
And the entire, why would she not do that?
The entire reason she did it is she said they don't get very many likes.
Oh my
goodness.
So
she was focusing all of her social media efforts on things that would make her more popular.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it included not sending happy birthday. And she's like, I realize now that was the dumbest thing I could have done.
So minimally, Andrew, just hearing you, I'm thinking social media has changed our lifestyles. I mean, now that's kind of a duh statement, but it's changing the what we value and what we do. I mean, for instance, wishing somebody happy birthday to a friend, that's what you do.
It's the most normal thing in the world. Yeah.
But now I'm making a decision not to because it doesn't seem to get the response or the comments or the likes.
And it's starting to have these negative effects, which is why we're talking about self-esteem today.
Yeah.
I meet kids all the time who tell me, I don't feel happy on social media, but I also feel like I have to do it because it's where everybody lives. I meet young people who tell me, I have myself, without any adult prompting, done intentional breaks off of social media because I just need a mental break from it. And on the opposite end, I meet young people who tell me, I have Snapchat streaks that are so long, I feel enslaved to these.
Oh, my.
Because you've got a young person who has a Snapchat streak of over 900 or 1,000, which means they've been sending pictures back and forth every single day for more than 2 or 3 years, and they feel like, I have to keep this going. Yeah, I've worked so hard.
I dare not stop. Yeah.
And now I'm stuck with it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just such a fascinating new world that we live in.
It is. It is. So we acknowledge, listeners, that while social media platforms have had a positive effect on some kids' self-esteem, i.e., those who become YouTube famous.
Yeah, yeah.
The YouTubers.
They're doing pretty good.
Yes, they are. It's had a negative effect on millions more, maybe the majority of kids that you and I meet. And they would admit this. This is not something that that's secret.
I totally agree, yeah.
So sooner or later, each person, each young person observes a few things. One, they know that they've seen posts that make them feel worse about themselves.
Yeah.
I.e. cyberbullying at its worst.
As just one example.
Yeah. It causes them to feel they're missing out on a better life.
Yeah.
That's FOMO.
Yep. Everybody's got better vacations than me. Yep.
Yeah. And then expose them to posts that they were caught in a fail. So that's the FOMO thing, fear of messing up. So we've said this often, but maybe we haven't said it on our podcast. When I was growing up, let's say in sixth grade, if I was in the lunchroom at school and I dropped my lunch tray, people would laugh or clap, you know how people, but it ended there.
Yep.
Today, someone catches it, the tray's on the floor, it's posted, and now that fail does not go away. I cannot get away from it.
Millions of times
people
are viewing it. Yeah, it makes me think, I don't know if you remember this video. It was in the early days of the internet, there was a video called The Star Wars Kid. And it was a kid who videoed himself playing with a broom handle, pretending it was a lightsaber.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, he's having a good time. Well, somebody gets that video, uploads it to the internet, and I read an article probably about a year ago that was talking about how that has affected his entire life since
Interesting.
Then. Because this fail, has ended up on the internet, seen by millions and millions of people.
Yeah, it's tweaked his identity.
It has.
So today, we're going to talk about how to build a positive, healthy self-esteem in the midst of all these. So I feel like, Andrew, we probably kind of need to do both. We need to say, why and how does it damage?
Yes.
And then how do we build positive self-esteem? So let me kind of set it up with an anecdote. I think this will kind of set the stage. So Brenda is a mother of Gina, a 13-year-old eighth grader, who just got a smartphone this past school year.
Okay.
So that's often the case. Middle school is often the time we feel like you're adult enough.
Yep.
Or I want you to text me if you're not safe
exactly,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So Brenda told me that up until now, Gina was a happy, expressive, well-adjusted young teen who spent most of her free time with her friends. That sounds like a typical teenage lifestyle. 6 months into her phone ownership, she's been a different girl. Her mom told me recently that Gina's been melancholy, negative, even combative in her relationships of late. Mom said, Brenda said, it's like she's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
And the only change that she can trace back is she's got a phone now.
Yep.
So,
and that's a story that I think many people all over the country and all over the world have heard. So,
yes, no doubt about it. Yep. So, Andrew, I would love it if you would start us down the path of just talking about what are some of the damages? How does it happen? I think it's just good for us to we need to know the enemy, okay? So talk us through that, and then we can talk through what are some of the solutions to build self-esteem that's healthy.
Well, what's so fascinating is young people today are experiencing this in droves, but the other side of it is that the folks who are incredibly popular are also experiencing this same thing. So there was a song that came out, Tim. I don't know if you'll remember this last year by a band called the Chainsmokers, who are creating music in the 21st century that's incredibly popular.
Yeah.
You know, it's upbeat and all these things. And even this song is an upbeat song, but it had a message that I think would resonate with so many kids the world over who are in this social media world. It was a song called Sick Boy, came out last year in 2018. And it's all about how the folks in this band feel like they are sick because of this digital lifestyle they have. In fact, this is the one of the refrains from the song. It says, feed yourself with my life's work. How many likes is my life worth? Which is obviously very catchy, but also quite interesting, right?
Yeah.
In other words, I feel like everything I create, people are consuming, literally feeding themselves, gorging themselves on the work that I create. And then I'm defining my life, by by the amount of likes that I get. Yeah. So I'm, hey, I got a million likes, so I must be more popular or worth more than this person over here who has 1,000 likes.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly the thing that we slip into. Never before have we been able to sort of quantify our social status quite like we were able to do it today. Yeah. And that's just one example among many of even the most popular among us still feeling the effects of this world that we're in.
Well, and even one of the phrases in that song is, don't believe the narcissism, where everybody expects you to listen to them.
Yeah.
And so they're acknowledging in a lyric,
yeah,
don't you all see what's happening to us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so, all being warped in this way.
Yeah. So behavioral scientist Clarissa Silva conducted some in-depth interviews with social media users from all age groups, not just teenagers. And she shares she discovered three really blatant unhealthy facts.
Interesting.
This is good for us to know.
Okay.
Number one, 60% reported it had a negative effect on their self-esteem.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
50% or half indicated it had a negative effect on their relationships.
Wow.
So it can be positive if we leverage it right, but half would say it doesn't. And then 80% shared it was easier to be deceived on social media platforms. And that's you can't see face, you can't hear tone. It's it's words on a screen, and we can be deceived.
Yeah. And even those who are in it, right? This was a survey done with members of all ages. Even those who are in it would acknowledge, I see these negative things happening to me as I'm on it, you know? Which is just crazy.
Yeah. So you made a statement before, I want to underscore it though. You said many teenagers would say, I see how it's doing bad to me, but I have to do it.
Yes.
So it's a love-hate relationship.
Yes.
There. Yeah.
I think that's exactly how they would define it, because a lot of them would say, I have some of my best moments in my history are when that social media thing went really well.
Yeah.
But my worst moments are also when that social media thing went really poorly.
Yeah.
Whether that was a friend that ghosted me or something I posted that I thought was going to be great, but I actually was embarrassing and I didn't realize it or whatever it is. Yeah. So it's an interesting dichotomy.
So Clarissa Silva continues, this behavioral scientist, social media has been linked to higher levels of loneliness, envy, anxiety, depression, narcissism, and decreased social skills. Other than that, we're doing fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. As a behavioral scientist, she writes, I wonder what causes this paradox. The narratives we share and portray on social media are all positive and celebratory. I mean, nobody says, I did the laundry today on, Instagram. And so how could this be? Well, she says, this is what Clarissa Silva says, it's a hybridized digital version of keeping up with the Joneses. Meaning for some, sometimes it appears to everyone, you're in great relationships, taking 5-star vacations, and living your dream life. However, what is shared across our social networks only broadcasts the positive aspects of our lives and the highlight reels. Kind of like watching ESPN highlight reels of the greatest catch, the greatest touchdown, the greatest dunk in a basketball game. And we didn't share. Yeah. We didn't share. I had to practice hours and hours.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't learn about how to become a great basketball player from a highlight reel.
Yeah, that's
right. Because that's not what it takes.
That's exactly right.
And the same thing's true in life, which is exactly what we're saying. Yeah. And it can seem in a we're going overly negative in some ways on social media. Yeah. We both are on social media platforms and have found positives from it. But that's just it, is I think we as adults, already having a pre-grounded identity, are able to come to that and get something out of it without it taking over our lives.
Yes. Yeah.
Today's kids don't know how to do that, right? Yeah. 13-year-olds stepping into this world are being warped by this, which is why it's what I keep learning in our focus groups that we've done over the last number of years.
Yeah.
I've been doing them for 4 years now. It's just really fascinating. The thing that I realized after about 2 years in, I was able to start saying this with confidence, that what's happening is this shift of the social hierarchy, or my social identity has shifted from where I'm sitting in the lunchroom, which is what it was when I was in high school, to where do I rank in the world of social media?
Yeah, interesting.
And primarily kids today are going to that place. So they're drawing that primary sense of their identity from their status on social media. And this is interestingly, there was a survey recently that found that this is the first generation ever when citing what are the primary factors that formulate who I am or that I look to as major formation or major centers of formation for me. They're the first generation on record not to cite friend or not to cite family or faith
yeah.
in their top two That's categories. Right. It's other things. It's yeah. my profile. It's my career interests. It's my hobbies, all those kinds of things.
And listeners, what we want you to have as just a listener who's being informed is what this is doing to us. Okay. Yeah. So we're not saying it's all evil or whatever. But Andrew, I'd like you to walk us through the problem with social media. I think if a listener here is going to say, I'd like to talk to a teenager or a student or a student athlete about this, what would you say maybe are four big problems that have emerged with social media?
Yeah. What's great about these four things, I think, is that you will be able to have a conversation with the young people that you lead in whatever context, and I think that they will agree with these four things.
Yeah.
They'll say, yep, that is one of the negatives mm-hmm. of social media. And because of that, you'll actually be able to have a conversation to say, well, how do we negate that? I know you've got to stay on Twitter, but how could we stay on Twitter and alleviate some of these problems? So this is where social media begins to become a problem. First of all, it begins to become a problem when we rely on others' feedback far too much for our emotional well-being.
Yeah, happening all the time.
We're building building our emotional well-being around other people's feedback. Obviously, there's a huge danger to that. Adolescents have always put too much stock in what other people, what their peers think about them. But I think that problem today is on steroids because you've got this constant connection. The comments that other people make about us on social media, those are things that never go away, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
because of that, and because of how public they are, it can begin to warp our sense of well-being. So anytime a person needs other people for their own approval or in order for them to feel good about themselves, they're putting themselves in that risky position.
Yeah, that's right. An emotional roller coaster at best.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, and you've been saying this for years and years, our identity should always be placed in realities that cannot be taken away, cannot be shifted. I should know who I am, and that should be the most firm foundation that I'm rooted my identity in. That's obviously a huge issue.
All right, so that's number one. What's another? What? Give us number two.
Number two is we buy into cognitive distortions about our worth and identity. Mm. We all know social media is not reality, period, end of sentence, right? It just is not. It's a facsimile of reality. It's the reality that people present, but it's not necessarily the reality that's true. Students on social media are prone to believe lies about themselves, either feeling worse about themselves or better.
Maybe
you noticed?
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
For instance, there's YouTube folks out there. Yeah. I think of the famous one, Jake Paul is his name. Yeah. He's one of the most popular YouTubers on the planet.
Yeah.
And that popularity has led him to think really amazing things about himself that are actually not true, right?
Yeah.
And he has so many cognitive distortions that you can see in his videos and the way he talks about himself. The other side of it is that young person who watches Jake Paul and feels like, I'll never be that cool, I'll never accomplish those things.
Yeah.
And they begin to believe things that aren't true about themselves either. Both people are telling themselves a lie, and this cognitive distortion comes from being on this world of social media. I think we have to choose our cognitive story on purpose.
Yeah.
I get to say who I am.
Yeah. So let me volley back in case you listeners say, I think I've heard that term cognitive distortion, but I'm not exactly sure what you're saying. It would be like moving from a student who did poorly on a test. Instead of saying, I failed, which is the truth, he begins to think, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
This is part of my identity.
Yeah.
That's a distortion. You're not a failure if you failed at something.
Sounds like a fixed mindset
as well. Yes, right.
I use that information to make a statement about myself that actually isn't true.
Yep.
That's good.
Good. Number three?
Number three, we gain our sense of identity from information rather than application.
Uh-huh.
And this is another problem with the internet in general, but especially social media, is it's a virtual reality.
Yeah.
Reality has to be grounded in experience. And too often a 21st century student can draw their self-image merely from what is said about them rather than what they've actually done, which is crazy. Because we know words are never enough, talk is cheap. The reality, the real things in our world are things that we've actually experienced, that we've done with our physical bodies. A genuine and robust self-esteem must come both from affirmation and achievement.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the words people say about us. It's also what we've accomplished.
Yeah.
Too many kids are living so much in the world of social media, they're actually not really making any efforts to accomplish anything in the physical world.
Yeah.
This is that proverbial man in his parents' basement, so satisfied with playing video games that he doesn't make any efforts in his real life.
Yeah.
And there's obviously countless examples that we could look to. But I think healthy leaders healthy young people have self-esteem that moves from artificial to authentic only when it's derived from action, not just words.
Yeah, so. That's so true. All right, last number but four, not least, number four.
So number four is we see ourselves as victims, not leaders in our interactions. Yeah. In other words, we're reacting to this world that we're a part of rather than taking the initiative, going on the offensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
The presence of social media can coerce students to feel like a victim in life. Mm-hmm. They're always on the defense against others' comments, their likes, their shares, their views, their retweets. This is kind of like that girl who doesn't want to post a happy birthday photo. She's afraid of putting something out there that doesn't get likes, mm-hmm. and that can damage her reputation. When we think like that, I think it causes that distortion in our brains. Healthy people, healthy leaders have to act, not react, right?
Yeah.
There are times to react to things, but I think primarily we should be deciding who we're going to be, secure in who that is, and then acting from our own strengths and weaknesses, not just reacting to what other people are saying.
So, Andrew, you've given us four really clear, challenges that we've just said you might want to have this conversation with students in a classroom or your kids at home. But these are things I think... Again, I keep using this verb. We got ambushed by all this.
Yeah,
all of
us did. Yes.
So now we got to talk about what it's doing, and are we the masters of technology or the servants of technology?
And I think students would love to have this conversation. Yeah. So I definitely suggest you do it with them. But this is the other side of this: is all of these things are leading us to have more negative self-esteem. Yeah. We're believing things about ourselves that are not true. I think you have been talking on this for a long time. How do we build healthy, real confidence and self-esteem inside of students? So I think we should transition to that.
Yeah.
What are some steps, and I know you've outlined four steps that we can take to help them build healthy self-esteem rooted in the right things?
Yeah. So this is not going to be an exhaustive list of everything you need to know about building good self-esteem in a kid. However, in light of social media specifically, how do we combat the negative effects and begin to build healthy self-esteem? So I'm going to give you very rapidly four ideas to noodle on and maybe to talk over. All right, so number one, this sounds so cliche, but let me just start with it, but because I think it's the foundation. Tell yourself the truth. If you're a student or an adult, for that matter, on social media and you begin to believe some distortions and lies, you've got to begin to tell yourself the truth. So when something's posted online, it becomes very difficult for a victim to see past that or to erase it.
Yeah.
It's been posted. Even if it's wrong and somebody got proved that it was wrong, it's still out there.
When fake news goes viral, it's still seen by masses.
Yeah. And in this scenario, students must learn to fight cognitive distortions about who they are. You mentioned those cognitive distortions before. They need to believe the best about themselves and speak the truth about who they are. So, Andrew, you chuckle at me when I tell you this, but every morning I get up. And before I get up from the bed, I make four statements about the truth about myself.
Yes.
And they're not goofy, although they may sound goofy to somebody. But before I do any exercise or do any showering, I make these statements because I want to set my mental framework in the right direction. So it doesn't even matter what four, but make sure it's four things that are true.
Yes.
You know, I do this, or this is true, or that's true, or whatever. I know a lot has been made fun of over the years, even on Saturday Night Live. Doggone it, people like me, you know. But I actually think we fight cognitive distortions that are not true by truths.
Yes.
Yeah.
And honestly, students need to be able to do this themselves. But one of the things I always love, one of the pieces of advice you share, is have a board of directors in your life who can lead you, push you, all those kinds of things. So it may be that a young person needs to say, I've got a bunch of voices who are not telling me the truth about life. What if I made sure I have a bunch of voices in my life that are telling me the truth, who I can go to and say, I'm beginning to believe this about myself. Does that sound true to you or not true to you? You know?
I think that's brilliant. In fact, let me just tell you why this sequence is so needed. So in a world of social media, where social media prevails, and with so many lies and fake news out there, you tend to become insecure about things.
Yeah.
You're overwhelmed with 10,000 messages a day, perhaps. So at being overwhelmed, you might start believing things that are not exactly true, such as, I'm a loser, I'm never going to get any better, I always ruin the party for everyone, no one likes me. I think this is the essence of what cognitive behavioral therapy a CBT is, but it's you beginning to say, that's not true.
Yep.
That feels true. It's not true. This is true. And I think we need to affirm out loud, actually, what's the truth.
I love that. I love that. Okay, that was number one.
All right.
Let's move on to number two.
Number two, as silly as this sounds, this is a major game changer for those who have a poor self-esteem. Focus on others instead of yourself.
Yeah.
Now, there are people out there listening that are people of faith or whatever that would say, well, of course that's true. But listen, let me tell you what it does psychologically and scientifically. Human beings are wired to be happier and emotionally healthier when we target our attention toward others, not just ourselves. In other words, the least happy people in the world are narcissists.
Yes.
They really are.
Yeah.
So this doesn't mean we fail to practice self-care. Of course we do. But it simply means that, as I mentioned, narcissism is the worst enemy of happiness. So when I begin to feel down about myself on social media, I gain perspective by serving the needs of others or affirming them on those very sites that I once was embattled. Okay.
Yes.
So I know this kind of sounds like a platitude. I'm so aware. But it's actually backed by research. Dr. Mariana Pogosin writes in Psychology Today, and I'm going to quote this now, research has found many examples of how doing good in ways big or small not only feels good, but it also does us good. For instance, the well-being boosting and depression-lowering benefits of volunteering have been repeatedly documented over the years.
Fascinating.
As has the sense of meaning and purpose that often accompanies altruistic behavior. Moreover, she writes, there is now neuroevidence from fMRI studies suggesting a brain link between generosity and happiness.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it really is.
And this is something that, like, anecdotally, we would probably, everyone listening would go, oh, of course, you know. But I think oftentimes we don't realize social media is in some ways promoting the exact opposite of generosity, the exact opposite of selflessness and all the things that we're talking
Absolutely. About. Absolutely. Easiest thing in the world is to be cocky on social media. So what we did with our own two kids, as we knew they were going through, especially their middle school years where self-esteem is a little bit volatile at best,
good days,
bad days come often, we just started taking our kids to places where they could serve.
Mm.
So we went downtown Atlanta, Georgia, to a number of places where we served the underprivileged or even the homeless. And we served meals. And it's not that I didn't want a trophy for it. I just wanted our kids to go, ah, this is perspective. And I feel so good about myself when I'm helping others. We even took them overseas to developing nations as close as the Caribbean, where there was some, you know, Haiti or Jamaica. And just places that, you know, these people need to be served. And I have privilege.
Yeah.
And I can serve. And I actually feel better.
It's reorienting themselves where they go, oh, I understand the truth about who I am now because I've focused on other people, not myself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's so healthy. Okay. We've done two. Let's go into three.
Number three, use your talent in a way that makes you proud.
Mm.
Now, there's two parts to this. So obviously we need to identify our gifts and begin to use them. And that's one good way to build self-esteem. My mom and dad pointed out to me very early on that I had a gift in artwork.
Yeah.
I drew pictures, I sculpted, I painted, and so forth. And many kids do. But they said that differentiates Tim, and we're going to help foster that. So they got lots of pads of paper, and at first it was crayons, and then it was other. But I tell you what, I think through my teenage years, having that specific gift and then using it in a way that made me proud was the way I made my way through unscathed pretty much because I was able to feel good about myself. So I want you to catch, listeners, there's two parts to this. We transition our self-esteem to we're using our gifts, and then number two, we're using it to serve someone else that makes me feel good in the way I used it, all right? So I just think this is huge. In fact, what's funny about me is that art was really developed. And I remember my mom and dad said, you should apply for a scholarship in college. And I got one.
That's awesome.
But I don't think I would have done it. I'd go to college, you know. But
yeah.
But I ended up being a minor in art. But for years, I kept that scholarship by declaring that as a major and using that art to do a lot of good when I was 18, that. 19, 20 years
Notice
old.
The difference between grounding your identity in the volatile opinions of others versus a strength that's innate and built in and is not going to change, right? And saying, I am an artist. That's one of the pieces of who I am. No words from somebody on Instagram could change how I feel about myself in that way.
Yeah, that's artificial self-esteem.
Yes. Yeah. So this is great. Helping them identify those strengths and talents and then helping them use them for other people in healthy ways. I love that.
So here's the good news about this before we go on to the final one. I just believe that negative comments on social media pale in comparison to the strength of knowing I've actually done something significant with my gift for
nobody can take that away.
Others' opinions are less important. False criticism seems hollow. I'm in a much better place. But I got to get up, like you just said, and do something. I got to act, not just get informed.
I love it. I love it. Okay, number four.
The last one that I think in light of social media might help self-esteem is join an environment that builds healthy self-esteem. So if you're a parent, you're a teacher, whatever, and you got students that need this, help them find those. But I encourage students to participate in a community that will enhance their self-image. It enables them to choose their sense of identity through associations that they found around themselves regularly. You probably heard the phrase, you will become the middle of the five people you spend the most time with. That's a very interesting phrase. You will become the middle of the five people you spend the most time with. That means just social status, self-esteem. So all I'm saying is make sure that you're finding people that are ahead of you and close to you that you can actually say, we build each other up.
Yeah.
Now, do we do goofy things? Of course we do goofy things. You and I do goofy things.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's part of being a human.
But I think that this is really about raising the tide and where I swim by getting around people that I know are going to build me up. So for me growing up, it was a baseball team that happened to be. Now, there are bad baseball teams, too.
Yeah.
But that was one for me. Other clubs that I joined as junior and senior in high school that actually built me up. And I had to find them, though.
Yeah. So. You need communities of people outside of your family is obviously super important, but outside of your family who are reinforcing some truths that you know to be true about yourself. And when we do that, it helps build us in really healthy ways.
No doubt about it.
Tim, this is so awesome. So you've gotten four tips. We all know that social media is a difficult thing to navigate. It is negatively affecting self-esteem. But there are truths in our world, some of which you just shared, that can help give us that grounded identity focused on others, not ourselves, that help kind of reroute this self-esteem ship that we're all on. So thank you so much, Tim, for your insight. Thank you guys for listening. If you're wondering, how do I have conversations about this with the students that I'm leading? We actually have a tool called Habitudes that might be helpful for this. In particular, I want to highlight Habitudes for Social and Emotional Learning. This concept of social emotional learning has become so big, especially in the world of education. And the reason being, kids are often missing basic social and emotional life skills. And we're really excited because this Habitudes course, it's actually a four-year course, can actually help reroute the ship, like we're talking about, begin to build some healthy self-esteem and help those young people develop life skills that we know they're going to need into adulthood. If you want to find out more about Habitudes for Social Emotional Learning, check out our website, growingleaders.com. You'll be able to learn about it there and even get a free sample if that's something you're interested in. Well, as always, it would be so helpful for us if you would rate this podcast. 5 stars is the preferable amount of stars if you would rate it. That actually helps get the word out about what we're doing here. Tell other people about it, too. Word of mouth is also helpful. If you will, also connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We love connecting with you there, at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. And then lastly, if you've got ideas or suggestions for this podcast, people you think we should interview, subjects you want us to cover, whatever it is, shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those from you. Tim, thank you again for leading us through this conversation. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.